Hey, welcome everybody. It's Brother Tupos.
And Sister Amen. Hopefully you're all doing well tonight.
Yeah, we hope you had a great day. We are striving on today. We're in kind of a rainy weather mode, so we've just been working online, staying in place, fellowshipping with some saints, and we had a good day today. It started out really good. What happened at McDonald's today? We went to a marketplace. I felt led to go to McDonald's early this morning, and we went. What happened, Sister Amen?
Well, before we even went there, I was walking through the store doing a witness walk, and I had to get a couple things. And I was walking the aisles, and I was asking the Lord that if there's anybody in there that needs the truth, I'm ready to give it. Oftentimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. While I walked out, there was nobody to get the truth. I did leave some gospel cards out. Hopefully maybe somebody will find them. And I was a little bit disappointed. Then I was like, oh, well, let's see what this day brings. We go to the marketplace, like Brother Tupos was saying, and a few minutes after we're in there, this woman, I was walking by, she goes, hey, I saw you in Walmart. And I gave her a gospel card, and she's like, well, thank you, I want that.
That was awesome. I watched you talk to her, and then I saw her say, sit down.
Yeah.
And you sat down, and you talked to her for about an hour.
Oh, it was phenomenal. It was awesome. This woman, she seems to have some challenges, but she has faith like a child. I just keep thinking faith like a child. And the whole conversation was wonderful. It was just wonderful.
She didn't push back and fight.
No, she loved it. She said, my heart is just beating so fast. I love to hear everything you're saying. It sounds like what God would want us to hear. It was interesting witnessing to her. It just warms my heart because that faith like a child. And then at one point she said she needed to get a Bible with big print on it. And when I was all done witnessing to her, I talked to Brother Tupos, and we gave her my Bible that I have to have bigger print, too, because I can't read some of those smaller ones. And it has the nice tabs on there that allows you to see the book. And I gave it to her, and she was so thankful. And it was cute, because Brother Tupos came over to say something to her as we were leaving. And she
shook my hand.
Yep. She reached out, shook his hand, touched his beard.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you a picture of.
She was an older lady. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She was
very
sweet. I
think
she said she was 64.
Yeah.
Yep. And she started crying a little bit. And I said, you know, those who are the Lord's, when they get to be there with him, he will wipe away their tears.
Amen.
She said she likes it. And she said, but I'm not crying for that. I'm crying because I'm happy. She said, I know you wouldn't just give your Bible to anybody. She said, I'll treasure it or cherish it. I can't remember which one. And then she said, tonight, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read it. And then she said, no, no. And she slapped the table and she said, why would I not do that now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome. I gave her a hug and.
Perfect time. Perfect timing. We needed to be right where we were.
Super heartwarming. I have an audio of, I have 20 minutes of the audio.
You put up a witnessing page with a couple of our witnessing audios. That'll be at the top of the edification page.
And I'm
tonight.
Actually going to put that in the sister's audio page. I'm going to title it Woman with Faith Like a Child. You got to listen to that. She's got a lot more basic, simple, fundamental wisdom than the church people do. I'm just telling you, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. Appointed meeting. We get a lot of that where the pastors and the people that sit in the church pews are dead, but then we get people that either have challenges or young children, and they have more sense for the things of God than these people that sit in their religious buildings every week for many years.
Right, and at one point in the conversation, she said, are you Jews? And I said, no, you're probably thinking about the way we look. And I did kind of talk to her a little bit about that later on in the conversation. But I said, no, we're not. And she said, Jews are good people. And I said, well, there are Jews who believe in Jesus and there are some that don't. And she was kind of surprised about that. She said, Jesus was a Jew. And I said, but there's a lot of Jews that don't believe the Messiah has come. They're still waiting for him. And it made me think to ask you if you want to share how a person could witness to an Orthodox Jew, one that doesn't believe in the Messiah.
Yeah, the way you would witness to an Orthodox Jew, boy, they'd have to be a seeker because they don't believe in the New Testament. They do read the Old Testament scriptures. They would have to be seeking. And if they were willing to seek, what I would do with that, if they're an Orthodox Jew, is I would take them to the scriptures and show them who Christ is in the scriptures. And I would show them scriptures like Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Christ came out of Egypt when he was with Mary and Joseph. And then there's prophecies, all kinds of them. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, thou be thou little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall thee come forth for me one that is a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So there's a whole bunch of prophecies, hundreds of them, about Christ's life that point to him being the Messiah. And so that's where I would take a Jew. So I'd take him to the Old Testament and show him Christ in the Old Testament, and so that they could see the prophecy of his life and him coming to be the Messiah. That's the only way they're going to come to see him. They've got to see it in the scriptures.
Right.
Now, there's all different kinds of Jews. There are some Jews that believe in the Old Testament. There are some Jews that don't, so it kind of depends. There's some Jews that just believe, like, in the Talmud writing, so kind of would depend on how you would approach it. It would be based upon their faith system. You would have to approach it that way.
Yeah, there's so many different flavors of
there
everything.
There's many different flavors of them.
You know, it makes me think about kind of what would be similar to that today is, like, Hebrew roots.
Yep.
They kind of go that way, and we've had a lot of run-ins with them.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, we know way back in the beginning of our walk, Brother Tupos was communicating with a Hebrew roots man, and he invited us over to his house to discuss some of the doctrines.
Yeah.
And a woman there who usurped authority that shouldn't have over that household, she said, if you're going to go to Israel, you might as well rip out the New Testament because they don't want nothing to do with it. And you got to try to do it all from the old.
Yeah.
But we can't just do that in our Bible because her point was, the Bible and the Holy Spirit isn't enough.
Yeah.
You got to, like, convince them in the flesh.
What would you would like to do is show them the Old Testament prophecies, and then that would lead them to the New Testament.
Exactly, yeah. And she kind of argued against all that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. They don't necessarily believe in the New Testament, and they don't believe Paul.
Yeah.
All kinds of different flavors.
Yep. Yeah. So, no, that's a good question. That was a good question that you asked.
Yeah. And she noticed. We talked about how we look different.
Yeah.
We act different from the world. She said that makes sense.
Well, that's how she noticed you from Walmart, and then she saw you in McDonald's when we went in there, so that was perfect.
Yep, she said that makes sense.
Perfect timing.
Yep.
And there's a good example of somebody who might have been a little bit, I did that teaching on feeble or people that might be weak, and there's a good example how those people can bless us.
Oh, exactly.
By their faith, their knowledge, their desire for God's word. They can be a blessing to us.
Yeah, because we see so many people, like I told a sister today, they take the word of God, they throw it on the ground, and they squish it and twist it like a cigarette butt.
Yeah.
And then they walk off.
Trample it, yeah.
Yeah. And so to have somebody take it and treasure it.
Yeah, amen.
At one point she said, I would like to just sit by Jesus and hold his hand and my heart would melt.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't talking literally.
That's pretty awesome.
That was her way to explain it.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was awesome. Good witnessing experience.
Yeah.
Somebody was talking about today, I heard a believer talking about looking at the world's joy and comparing how happy the world is versus saints that have to struggle through tribulation, saints that have to struggle through all kinds of things. And they were talking about how the world can seem happier on the outside than saints are on the outside. Does that make sense? Because, you know, the Bible says Jesus was a man of many sorrows. So us saints have to go through a lot of tribulation. We're hated in the world. We don't exactly have the Holy Spirit is the inner calm, but we don't have the outside exuberance of the worldly people around us.
Yeah, not like the world does.
How many people have looked at us in the street and said, you don't look very happy?
Oh, I know. I get that a lot. Your wife doesn't look very happy.
Or they'll say, you don't look happy.
And you, yeah. It's like, why would we be happy? Especially, this often comes from people who are, like, religious.
Right. Yep. And so, yeah, there's this big problem where people think that your peace and your joy and your happiness is relied upon your outside exterior, where you're laughing and joyful and you're pursuing the things of the world, and that just isn't true. The calm and the joy comes from the Holy Spirit is the inner calm and joy. Someone can look very stoic and have that calm and joy on the inside. I believe that's how Jesus was and Paul was. And so I was talking, we were talking about this, and I reminded them, don't be deceived that the worldly people can have joy right now. But guess what's coming? 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. So the world might look happy, but they're headed for hell. They're headed for the wrath of God. They're living in sin and delusion, whereas saints have a peace and a joy, and we're looking for the city yet to come. So we talked about that, not to be deceived by people that have the world all going for them while this world is dying and fading away.
Yeah, they have their reward today.
Yep.
And then I also wonder, you know, if you're trying to warn people about the wrath of God to come, how can you be laughing about that and
right.
smiling?
Oh, yeah, no.
There's a seriousness about
that's a
God's
fleshly.
Word.
That's a fleshly joy, and that's what the world all knows is carnal, fleshly, temporary. The true peace of God is on the inside, and it's an inner happiness.
Right. And yeah. if people know the saints of God, they see the joy, they see the zeal.
Yep.
But there is a seriousness about this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What else is on your mind today, Sister Evan?
Well, I have, let's see, Matthew 9:37-38. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And just kind of goes along with what we do out here and any other saints that do it or are looking into it, how much work there is to do. And yeah. I was just talking to you about the meanings and the context about that. We were just talking about yeah. the laborers, the harvest.
Right. Everyone's going to be harvested, the evil and the good, or the yeah. righteous and the unrighteous, I should say. And we know there's going to be few that are going to make it into the kingdom, but the harvest is still going to be the wicked. The wicked are going to be harvested, and they're going to be the chaff that are going to be thrown in the fire and burned.
Yeah.
So think of we always talk about it, think of a cornfield. When you go in through a cornfield and you harvest it, about 98% of what you harvest is stalk and big leaves and husk. And then you have a little bit of the seed that's the corn, and that's the good harvest. And everything else gets chewed up, ground up, and thrown into the fire.
Right.
So the harvest is great, but only a few are going to make it. And we're the laborers that go forth, preach the gospel, and we're helping define who's going to make it in the kingdom, who's not by preaching the gospel, who has ears to hear and eyes to see. And then they're going to make it in the kingdom if they're obeying because of what Christ has done via the gospel. But the harvest is still going to be great no matter what. The wine press of the wrath of God. The angel's going to come and plunge a sickle into the earth. And God's going to harvest every single person.
Yeah, and we want to be his laborers.
Yeah.
Don't we, sisters?
Amen.
Diligently. In the ministry that the Lord has called us.
Amen.
To do. And we want to do it faithfully every day because we don't get this day again.
Yeah.
And we don't want to waste this one looking for the next.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, so we want to be part of that harvest, so that's a glorious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another topic that came up was returning to old ways. This is a real common issue we see in people. They return to their old ways after coming out of the world in their flesh and claiming Christ. Do we see that a lot?
Yes.
I just wanted to read this scripture verse. This should be a dire warning. 2 Peter 2:12-22. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to a true proverb. The dog is always turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallow in time, or in that mire. So people returning to their sin, it's a big problem, returning to their old lives.
I would say a person has to be totally turned over if they've walked so far.
Yeah, it depends. They could be a newer Christian and turn back, but
yeah.
if they've walked a certain ways. Paul talks about the man Demas that said he forsook us because he loved the world.
Yeah.
In the book of Timothy.
That's a dire warning. And sisters, we don't want to think we're something that we can't fall.
Amen.
We got to be careful or we might.
Yeah, so you got to watch out. Not returning, being on guard, walking in the Spirit, putting on your armor. Because until things are very far away in your rearview mirror, they can still return in your life. So watch out for that.
Right. All it takes is one little slip here or there.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're like so far away. Like Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
Yeah, amen.
We don't want that.
We don't want to slip. I was sharing with a brother that it's getting very dark in the so-called Christian world. There's a guy that goes around and does all kinds of revivals. And I think I mentioned this the other day. He's on stage now with a guy that's a Jew that doesn't even believe Jesus is God. They're all singing religious songs. They're all praying to God. And this guy doesn't even believe Jesus is God. And he's on stage with, and all these, and millions of Christians are supporting him. And it just made me think about the delusion that's out there. 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers are entered in the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Literally, you have American Christians standing on stage with antichrists, singing songs, praying, and praising them. I don't know what else to say to that. If people are that delusional, they have a false Jesus, false God, false spirit, they're setting themselves up for the end time deception.
Right. When you see things like that, it becomes even more clear how easy it can be for Satan and the Antichrist to come and do his will.
Oh, yeah. It's being set up. And people are in it for money. Over. They're in it for favor. But it's doctrines of demons and all that. It's just amazing that somebody can unite to Antichrist.
Yeah.
That's crazy to even think about. But it's happening all over. So be on guard and watch and guard against that.
Right, exactly.
Who you associate with. Who you? What you believe, all of these false church systems.
Yeah, it's a good point, because a lot of times people, we hear this in the streets. Oh, I go to the such and such church, but I don't belong to that. I'm just kind of visiting, and I'm not part of them.
Yeah.
The same thing goes with, oh, hey, my friend believes all these weird things, but, you know, I don't, so I could still associate with them. And bad company corrupts good.
Yeah, my friend's a heroin addict, and he shoots heroin, and I just hang out with him. I don't do it. Yeah. You're going to lead yourself in a whole bunch of trouble.
You end up being like these people here, you know, compromised so-called Christians propping up an antichrist man.
And the world is very politically correct now, because nobody wants to call anything out. Now if you call something out, you're called an abuser, you're called a stalker. Online, if you call people out, you're called a harasser.
Or a bully.
Yep, or a bully. And so nobody wants to stand up for the truth and earnestly contend for the faith. So people are conforming to what's going on around them, and that means there's going to be more ecumenicalism in the last days that's going to rise up. It's headed towards a one-world religion where anything goes. And no one can speak out against it.
Yeah.
And the only ones on the outside will be biblical saints that won't go along with it.
Exactly.
That'll be us.
Yeah, and it won't be millions of them.
Nope. No, it'll be very few.
Not at one time anyway.
Yes, a puny, puny few.
Yeah, right.
Anything else, Sister Robin?
Well, I have a scripture verse. And what I would say about this is, how can we not rejoice? Revelation 19:16. And he hath on his... on his vesture and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen, amen.
And we get to serve him. I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, don't lose sight of who our faith, the author and finisher of our faith, who our faith is all about. We were just talking with a saint that's got to go through some trials. Things didn't work out the way they expected it, so they're going to have to go and do some things that they didn't think they had to do. And we were encouraging them to keep their eyes on Christ, not the circumstance.
Yeah, because we don't want to be circumstantial Christians.
Right, yeah, so that's a good thing to remember.
Amen.
That we can overcome all things in Christ, even if it's not the way we want it. Doesn't matter. One of these days, it won't be long, will be in eternity, so.
And it's all about him and his glory anyway.
Yeah, if you're a born-again saint, you're not your own, you're a servant of Christ.
Right, we lay our life down and we let him lead. We're just a vessel to be used.
Last thought I have is, I guess I wanted to share scripture on hope. The world needs hope. Mm-hmm. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Wherefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through our God, with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, glory in it, mm-hmm. knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So that's a pretty awesome thing.
It is,
the hope
yeah.
of God from Romans 5. You're looking for a scripture verse, aren't you?
Yeah, I wanted to look at that. Yeah, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations.
Yep. Yeah. That's like Jesus said.
That's a command.
Jesus said, rejoice when you're persecuted for his name's sake. So,
right.
And this goes along with it.
Rejoice, yeah. Always be content, yep. thankful. So if we glory in tribulations and yep. trials and things like that,
amen.
Then we're not living in the flesh, and a lot of this stuff isn't relieving and phase us. We're going to go from this way to that way and just keep moving along in this life and keep
purge
going.
Ourselves from all the cares of this world and all the tribulation, because if we're focused on eternity, we're headed to eternity, we're serving God, all the rest of the stuff is just like, we just got to get through this.
Yeah, you know,
but we're not focused on it.
The lady I talked to today, she said, all these people are really concerned about themselves. She said, I don't think God really appreciates pity parties.
Yeah.
She said that
That's
today.
True.
She summarized so many of the scriptures.
That reminds
she
me
said,
of the.
We should just be happy to have God.
That reminds me of the 12-year-old little boy that we got, or young man that we got the Bible to at that festival. He said, yeah, everybody I know, all even the ones that claim they're Christians, all they worry about is money.
Yeah.
And he said, that's not
absorbent.
Right. So, yeah, out of the mouth of babes.
Yep. Or the feeble or the challenged people, they see this. The simple, the simplicity, the plainness.
It's a blessing that we get to run across their paths and encourage them.
Yeah, we like to share it with others so they can be rejoicing too.
Awesome. Anything else, Sister Ramen, or are we out of here?
Love to the saints worldwide. Keep pressing on. Keep your eyes on Christ.
Amen.
And this is all worth it. It's all for him.
Yeah, and you just said the word I was thinking of. Rejoice, seek the kingdom, labor for him, go through trials, tribulation, because he is worthy.
Oh, he is.
He is worthy of it all. So we hope that's on your heart. Let us know how we can help you in that. Check out those audios of witnessing at the top of our page. And we got a whole bunch of posts coming soon. We've been working on stuff. So we're going to, through these rainy days, we're going to get a bunch of stuff posted on the website. And there'll be some more Ecclesia gatherings coming up, I think, on Friday, if the Lord wills.
Yeah.
So lots of good stuff to come.
Praise God.
Amen. All right. Love you all. Remember, he's worthy. Strive for that kingdom.
He is. Amen.
God be praised.